We're in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 22. And we realize that our Heavenly Father is a good Father. He created us in Christ Jesus, created us for good works. He has a plan for our lives. And He created us for the glorious, ongoing, good works that we're to live in. A work of accomplishment for His good pleasure. We live in a world where some people never give a thought to God. They find us Christians to be a little overbearing sometimes in our talking of the Lord and so forth. And they never give God a thought, much less the responsibility to live a life of obedience to God. That's just foreign to them. And we all have friends, workmates, acquaintances, relatives, who seem to never realize our Lord as Creator and Savior. However, God in His goodness and His mercy, by His Holy Spirit, has demonstrated His goodness to us by calling us to Himself. God has not left us. We are His workmanship. He's not left us to flounder about looking for meaning in life, looking for the truth. He has given us meaning and the truth. And for us who now believe, God has prepared that we walk in good works. Now, I try to start every day with prayer, with a time of prayer. And one of my prayers is that God would show me the opportunities that He has laid out for me this day of good works. Slow me down, Lord, if it's necessary. Slow me down enough to see the opportunities that You have for me. My children have a grandmother on their mother's side who's 98 years old. That's a lifetime now. And she's starting to suffer in poor health, and she's near death. And my daughter called me, and she said, "Would you pray for Grandma?" Now, Grandma happens to be one of the best Christian ladies I've ever known, lived out her faith. Therefore, a good work for me was simply to pray for this lady. That's a good work. Prayer can be a good work. So it behooves us to be a prayer warrior. To believe in God, to trust in Him, is the foremost work before us. A good work is to believe in our Lord. It was important to Jesus to have Thomas believe. And you know the story. Thomas has declared to the other disciples after Jesus' resurrection, he would not believe in a resurrected Jesus until he placed his hands in the side of Jesus or held the nail-scarred hands in his own hands. So what does Jesus do? He appears to Thomas. He comes to Thomas and he says, "Hey, touch my scars, Thomas." Now, Thomas touches the scars, puts his hand in the nail-printed hands of Jesus, and notice, Jesus sought out Thomas to reveal Himself to Thomas. It was important to Jesus to have Thomas, a disciple, believe. It's important to Jesus to have you and I believe. And Thomas, with his eyes and with his hands, he experienced the wounds of Jesus and felt of the scars and so forth. And Thomas believed after hearing Jesus say to him, "Be believing Thomas." So here we are. We have an opportunity to open the windows of our hearts and to be believing. And that's an opportunity given to each and every person on earth. To simply believe is a good work. And we don't look upon that as a work. That's just a natural state that we're in, to be believing. But it's the most important work. We come, we gather, we worship, we believe a good work. In John 6:69, Peter states, "We have come to believe." And isn't that the truth in all of us? We have come to believe. So, Paul will begin verse 11 of chapter 2 with "remember." So, let's read 11 through 13. "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near to the blood of Christ. Therefore, believe." Recently, I saw a t-shirt. Do you ever read t-shirts? I read t-shirts. This t-shirt had "believe" written across it. Then it had a picture of Santa Claus. Okay, but it said "believe." And my mother, I think I was 25 years old before she confessed there was no Santa Claus, but she wanted us to believe in that rascal. But anyway, that's not the point. We're to remember our past. We're to remember how we were once opposed to Christ before we believed. We were sinful, what they call Gentiles. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. And we were Gentiles in need of Jesus. And Paul goes on in Ephesians verse 14 through 22, and we'll read that. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built up together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." A dwelling place. Jesus has provided peace for us Gentiles. The cross has broken down the separation that was between Jew and Gentiles, broken down the enmity of all of mankind from God, creating in himself a new people, Jews and Gentiles, we're one people, reconciling us together to himself, putting to death enmity. Now, that's a word we don't use too regularly. It simply means a separation of saints before God. Enmity, being foreign to the Lord. Jesus, our peace, tearing down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. Paul writes of this separation between Jew and Gentile while he's under the arrest of a Roman Caesar. He's been arrested and he's on trial and he goes before a Gentile judge. He's accused by the Jews of bringing Gentiles into the inner worship area of the temple. And in the temple, there was an actual wall which read, "No Gentiles beyond this point." The Gentiles were not invited to go into the temple, inner temple, and worship God. That was the holy area for Jews only. No wall of separation there today, for there's no temple, and there no longer exists enmity between God and mankind. Which brings us to the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus must be greater than any economic, political, or any other thing that would separate us from God. We are all one family descending down from Adam. The Jews were against the Gentiles and the Samaritans, who were half-Jew. And many Jews felt better or superior to Gentiles back in the days of Jesus. They felt superior because they had the law of Moses, and they felt they were one step up on Gentiles. In fact, they looked upon Gentiles as being fire logs for hell. Not a good thing to be looked upon as, but that's how they looked upon Gentiles. And they refer to themselves as being sons of Abraham. They were given the law by Moses to separate them in their own mind from Gentiles. Paul writes, "I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin." Paul was proud of his heritage, but here he is now, he's on trial before a Roman Caesar. Have you ever noticed we many times will gravitate towards the way we were raised? If you're raised a Catholic, you sometimes remain a Catholic. If you're raised in Islam, you become Islamic and so forth. We are, to a degree now, a product of our environment. There comes a time when we have to realize for ourselves what is true, what is right, and you have to have that reckoning day. My youngest son, he worked for Calvary Costa Mesa in the youth department for a little while. And he was sent to speak to a Jewish youth group in Southern California. Young Jewish men, or you could call them boys. And these boys were surprised that we Christians felt we could actually speak or pray to God. That was foreign to them. They thought that was an extremely prideful view by Gentiles to think you could talk to God. Any Jew to this day would not dare speak directly to God. Their prayers, many times, are prayers that some Jewish rabbi has written that closely models the way they feel or think. And so they will read a rabbi's prayer. The Jews do not even have the name of God. It's Yahweh, they think. They're not sure. There's no vowels in Yahweh. So they add vowels to where you can pronounce it. But they've even lost the name of God. And they have no hint as how to pronounce the name of God. So a personal God is foreign to the Jewish mindset. Jesus is not accepted by the majority of the Jews. For Jesus, he preached and he taught peace to those who are far off and those who are near. Jesus came preaching truth. The teachings of the Jews today avoid declaring Jesus as Messiah. They do not accept Jesus as Messiah. We donate and give to a group called One for Israel, a good organization, an evangelical organization in Israel. But the leader of this One for Israel, he's a converted Jew. Being raised in Israel, he never heard of Jesus being Messiah until he was an adult, living right there in Israel. The Jewish schools taught and do teach the Old Testament as Jewish history, apart from Messiah. They don't move Jesus into that role of Messiah. And we are thought as Gentiles to be ignorant because we don't understand. We don't understand that they can't accept Jesus as Messiah. But we accept Jesus as Messiah as a suffering and a conquering Messiah. And to the Jewish mind, they can't go there. They either make Jesus the conquering Messiah, and that's who they look for, the conquering Messiah. So the Jewish person has blinders upon their understanding, even to this day. A God-given blinder. Which brings us to Christians. What is our thinking about those that are non-Christians? Do we have blind areas of acceptance? We can. We can look upon Hamas and the Palestinians as barbaric Islam. A hated religion. But who is the Lord giving Jesus dreams to? He's given them basically to Islamic people caught up in the Islamic faith, and he's given them visions of himself. God is doing this one-on-one. There's a young man, he's on YouTube, Mossad Yosef, and he is the son of the co-founder of Hamas. And he speaks openly against Hamas. And he condemns them in his speech, and he condemns them for being evil and a terrorist group. And this is to the dismay of the Hamas leadership. The Palestinians are a people under a satanic government or realm, Hamas, and they're trapped by their leadership. For the Palestinians have been taught from the time they were infants to hate Jews and to hate Americans. They're told that the Jews are the little Satanist and Americans are the big Satanist. And in this war between Israel and Hamas, I recently discovered that many of the Hamas soldiers are on drugs. Drugs to bolster their confidence, to take away their fear of being killed, and to put them on kind of a high, and make them brave in battle. So the real enemy is not the Palestinians, but it's their satanic leadership, Hamas. Hamas lives out the ways of Satan. Satan was a murderer and a liar, and you don't have to look far in the Hamas leadership to see them as murderers and liars. Thus, we have a war in Israel. As Christians, be in prayer for Israel. Be in prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. I think we're called to do that. And I recently, and it was on YouTube, so it's got to be true, and I'm going to share that with you. An Israeli troop was cautiously taking an area there in Gaza, and they suspected this area, this building, to be an arms depot of Hamas. They're going towards this building cautiously when a white dove descends down in front of them and lands right in front of this troop. And all the soldiers are looking upon this white dove, and they found that the dove had landed on a booby trap wire for the Hamas depot. The troop stops. The dove flies away, and lives are saved by God sending a white dove to stop a troop of soldiers. And these and other miracles are common there in Gaza, common for the Jewish soldiers. Israel is still God's people. And there are numerous miracles like the white dove that go on. We also see the Lord, our God, intervening in the lives of Islamic believers with Jesus' dreams. God protecting his Jewish people, soldiers, in a miraculous way, giving dreams to Islamic people, and we see how God is tearing down the walls of division between Jew and Gentile, tearing down the enmity between the two races, and our Lord reconciling old opponents to consider their enemies of olden days, that they need him. And our Lord is making himself known to the world in the Middle East. God is not absent. He's still on the throne. He's not absent in the conflicts and the wars that are in that area. He is a God who tears down division among people. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, we can find ourselves being so contrary to your teachings, Jesus. We can find ourselves disliking, even hating, holding grudges against people that are non-believers. Lord, let us be praying for non-believers versus hating them or despising them. Lord, we want to be about you and your kingdom. You're the creator of mankind. You desire that all men would come to a knowledge and saving grace of you, Lord. And we're to be praying in that way and in that fashion. So help us, Lord. Help us not to resent people because of color or race or religion or any other reason. Let us be about you and your kingdom, Lord. We live in a day where there's conflict. The war in Ukraine, the war in Israel, and we just can be overburdened with a man killing man. But Lord, you're still in control, and you're reconciling man to yourself. So Lord, let us be peacemakers. Let us be praying for Israel, praying for the Palestinians. And Lord, we pray that that war would end soon and the cost of lives would end, Lord. That's our prayer. Watch over your people. Protect them, Lord. Be with Israel in their time of need. Be with us. Help us to be good witnesses of you wherever we go, whatever we do. May we be about you and your kingdom. And we pray for this in your name, Jesus. Amen.